Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast, a review of the top 5 things that happened on our morning show. Now, who makes this determination as to what exactly constitute the top 5 things?
That's a darn good question.
And you know what? It's none of your damn business. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. Hello, Darren.
Hello. The podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment.
Mind your damn business. Do you want to enjoy the podcast, or do you want to be somebody that asks a bunch of questions?
This podcast is made out of paper.
It's made out of paper!
And it's made available by Nature's Treatment of Illinois, Tech Drive in Milan, and West Main Street in...
It's a madhouse!
Galesburg.
A madhouse!
Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower. They're ever-expanding availability of flower. Vapes and edibles. Recreational waiting lists are available now. Reserve your time at ntillinois.com.
And we get into it now. The top 5 things we start
get
with.
Get into it.
Get into this. Number one on our list. Now, these are not in sequential order. Like, we're not saying number one is the best. It's just these are the top 5 things.
And now, on with the countdown.
Number one.
One.
Number one.
Something I've been telling you is going to happen for some time now, I think is starting to happen. I think there are cracks, and I think we are really just days away from this thing finally reaching the end that has been coming for decades. And I'm talking, of course, about Pat Sajak just saying enough is enough.
All right, so I didn't investigate this, but I did see, was it a week ago or something?
Toward the end of last week.
He had some sort of snotty comment to make for somebody.
Well, he always has snotty comments. That's his gimmick. And they've gone from being kind of harmless to there being a little bit more venom.
Okay, so
as he's dealing with these contestants.
So what did he do?
I want to say this at the outset, too. I'm kind of on Sajak's side here.
I probably am as well.
But I think that this kind of shows you, it's like with the San Andreas Fault. There have to be a couple of bigger quakes before it falls into the ocean, the whole thing. I think this is one of those larger quakes that is going to kind of foretell what's going to happen where he just finally has enough and someone's going to get hurt on this
and
show.
What did
There's going to be an episode that never makes it to air, and there'll be an announcement. We wish Pat the best.
And what did we establish he makes a year last week? Was it 10 million? 15
no.
million?
So Vanna and the late, great Alex Trebek were both making 10 million. Sajak gets 15 million.
All right, so he's looking to...
And probably only works 30, 40 days a year because they tape all those shows.
Direct deposit of more than $500,000 every 2 weeks.
Right. To stand there and say, okay, only Vols are left. I mean, there's not a lot for him to do.
He knows the gig.
This was one of those puzzles that they do now where it's like a crossword puzzle where everything is tied together, right? So the category was kitchen, and then the words were cabinet, oven, towels, and sink, right? And usually, when they're all tied together, like it would be, rubber and then band, because like rubber band is a thing, or, you know, rubber pants, I don't know.
Biscuit.
Rubber biscuit, right, exactly. So this contestant, Darren McBain...
Of course it was a Darren.
...solves the puzzle. It's worth pointing out, before I play this audio, that his mom, Darren McBain's mom, was a contestant on Wheel of Fortune way back in 1982. So you're going to hear Sajak bring up Darren's mom.
All right, but that's woolery.
82.
Got to be woolery.
Right, well, it depends on whether it was the AM or the PM version, I guess. Right? When did Sajak take over? It would have been right around that time.
Was it that early?
Yeah, he's been there forever. So it's kitchen and then, you know, cabinet, oven, towels, and sink. And this Darren, because he's got to be a smart aleck, says, kitchen oven? Nobody calls it a kitchen oven. And Sajak just snaps and is like, hey, learn your place. Quit complaining.
Not on my show.
You won the puzzle. Let me give you the audio here from the wheel. And again, I think this is proof of what I've been telling you is coming. Sajak's going to snap.
He calls it a kitchen oven. No, you won.
I won. I won.
Aaron, I mean, you got the puzzle. Ungrateful players, I've had
it. Well,
that's not too bad.
Ungrateful players.
You won.
I've had it.
You get nothing. No, you're wrong.
He had to come back and apologize and saying, I'm sorry I yelled at you.
Ungrateful contestants. Yeah, but who put the bug in the ear? Pat, you gotta retract that statement.
He at one point, he literally said, quote, I finally snapped, which is what I've been telling you forever is going to happen.
I just don't remember your mother giving us trouble like this.
Your mom didn't give us trouble.
When you say that I finally snapped, mm-hmm. that means that it's been coming for some time.
Yes. Yes. Enough is enough. He apologized later on saying, I'm sorry I yelled at you. It's just I don't remember your mother giving us trouble like you did.
You don't remember my mom.
But also, when you win the puzzle, just take your money. You don't need to be making...
Who calls it a kitchen oven?
I'm on Sajak's side here. But also, I'm telling you,
there is no good reason to be putting up a tree right now. It's just a different generation, man.
Sajak took over on Wheel of Fortune in 19... Oh gosh, this shouldn't be this hard to figure out. He joined the Wheel of Fortune because it was... Chuck Woolery walked away in 81.
Oh, 81. Yeah. So there was the possibility he would have remembered his mom.
Yeah. Yeah. And they didn't like the idea of Sajak hosting.
My mom was willing to do things.
Merv Griffin wanted Chuck Woolery, and the president of CEO was saying, no, Sajak's not the guy. And then Merv Griffin said, okay, here's what we're doing. We're not going to tape any new episodes of The Wheel until they agree to hire Pat Sajak. This became a real game of chicken. And then they ended up firing the CEO of NBC and replacing him with Brandon Tartikoff. And then they said, yeah, go ahead and put Sajak on. We've got to have new episodes of The Wheel.
And he brought you Manimal.
Right, I forgot about Manimal. Brandon Tartikoff, couple of hits, lot of misses. He's remembered more for the hits than the misses. But yeah, Brandon. He is signed on to host The Wheel until the year 2022. At which point, I would think, I mean, he's 74 years old. At some point, you got to say, that's a good run, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get out of the house. There are other things you can do your existence.
Another year and a half of doing this. You're 75 and a half years old. You got all the money in the bank. You don't need to be looking at the wheel until you're in your 80s, right?
Drives me to madness. It's all he sees in his sleep is that wheel.
Damn wheel spinning around.
The sound of it. I wonder if that's what his ringtone is.
I'm going to guess it's not.
Or
I'm going to go ahead and guess that he has no Wheel of Fortune sounds on his phone.
I would hope.
How jive would that be?
I would hope
you're
not.
Sitting with Sajak at dinner.
Here, hold on. I got to take this.
Two. Here's a mistake. The IRS is acknowledging that due to one of their errors there, a bunch of people in other countries who are not citizens of the United States got $1,200 coronavirus relief payments.
God, don't tell Larry.
They acknowledged that their own error caused citizens of other countries to mistakenly get $1,200 coronavirus relief payments. And the IRS says if they are to do more stimulus money, it's probably going to happen again. We've made a mistake, and we want you to know this. We'll probably do it again if more stimulus money
comes up.
Not
sure we can fix this.
When the reports of the mistake first surfaced, the government put the blame on these non-Americans, saying that these non-citizens
erroneously
received stimulus checks because they'd filed incorrect tax returns that made it appear that they were Americans. But many non-Americans who got stimulus money do not even file U.S. tax returns. One of them, Suzanne Wigforce, is a 78-year-old Swedish citizen who lives in Stockholm. She was surprised in July when a $1,200 check showed up in the mail from the U.S. Treasury, followed by a letter from the president saying, "My fellow American, your economic impact payment has arrived."
I've done it.
She says, quote, "I thought, I can't believe it. They're sending it to me. Why? I mean, it's crazy, isn't it?"
And where is she?
She's in Stockholm, Darren. Sweden.
I've done it. I'm off to America. My new homeland.
Only U.S. citizens and U.S. resident aliens are eligible for stimulus money. And resident alien is a federal tax classification. And to qualify, an individual needs a green card, or you must have been in the United States for a certain amount of time. This woman in Sweden is neither of those things. What? It turns out this Swedish woman worked in California a long time ago. So that somehow got her a $1,200 stimulus check.
Where's my check?
She says, quote, "This is so wrong, because I saw a number of people were being evicted every month in Chicago, for instance, and I thought one of those families would have needed this stimulus check. Why would a Swedish citizen living abroad receive $1,200?
You know what? You might have been right.
She says, "There's no way I'm going to cash this money. It doesn't belong to me." But how much money is bleeding out of the Treasury Department because of these misdirected stimulus checks, I wonder? So she got a $1,200 check from the government. There's nothing stopping her from cashing it other than she would feel guilty, I guess. I'm also going to guess that most people who are non-Americans who are getting checks in the mail for $1,200
Wait a minute.
Don't have her...
is that her?
No, that's... Oh, yeah, that is her. Oh. That's Suzanne Wigforce.
It was better from the eyes up.
Well, again, she's 78 years old.
Okay, well. From there you go.
I'm scrolling here in the studio.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm pretty shallow.
Yeah, you are.
That's okay.
The Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration found that as of late May, $34 million in stimulus money went to people who filed a tax return with a foreign address.
Scrolled down a little too much.
You just want to look at the old Swedish chick?
Well, I...
They say that if they are to give away more money, if more of this stimulus money comes out, they're pretty sure they're going to continue to accidentally give money to people who don't.
We're not going to be able to figure this out.
Dude in Australia, this guy left in the 60s because he became disillusioned with politics in the United States. This guy is 74 years old. Van Shockley is his name. He's 74 years old. Guy was born in Pennsylvania, but he renounced his American citizenship.
Van Shockley doesn't play these games.
No. He says, "I had always been depressed when JFK was killed. I just couldn't get over that. So I started looking for someplace else to start all over." And that's what he did. He gave up his United States citizenship and has been an Australian citizen for almost 50 years. He hasn't set foot in the United States for more than 40 years.
Well, yeah, that's a hell of a trip.
Guess who got the money from the Uncle Sam? Van Shockley. He says, "It was the weirdest thing ever. I checked the mail and I pulled out a check and it had a Federal Reserve Treasury thingamajig on it with the eagle and all of that. And it's made out to me. And I thought, what's this from America? What the hell's going on here? Why am I getting a check from the government?
What's the postage on just a simple envelope to Australia?"
Good question. I don't know.
I mean, we're talking just about a simple check.
Well, I'm guessing that the $1,200 check is probably more of a concern than the postage. But all that postage overseas, you're right, that probably adds up.
Of course it does.
He says, at first I thought it was a joke. And then I went down to the bank and I said, do you have some way of verifying that this is legal? And the girl came back after 5 minutes and said, it's legal. You got the money. He says, I didn't ask for the money. I didn't expect any money. But as soon as I got it, I stuck it in the bank. And he says, quote, you ain't getting it back. He attributes the mistake.
Ben Shockley doesn't play that game.
He says it's government incompetence that he blames for his $1,200 windfall. Quote, oh, complete stupidity. They're just not doing their job properly. But I'm not complaining, totally, because I was happy with the money. And you ain't getting it back. I'm guessing there's a lot more Van Shockleys than there are.
Well, Van Shockley, at the very least at one time, was an American citizen.
I'll give him that. He was born here, but he left almost 50 years ago. And, yeah, the woman in Sweden worked in California for a time a long time ago. So that's how they... How do you even have Van Shockley's address once you renounce your citizenship here? Why would we need to know where you live?
Why would we care?
Yeah, well, so, you know, so we can get money to you if we need to, I guess. Yeah, don't...
Van Shockley plays by his own rules.
Make sure Larry does not find out about
this. Yeah, don't
let
him know about that. Because that's topic number one on... It's actually in Larry's top five waking thoughts.
Yes.
It's probably the top four.
If you love Larry and you want him back on this show, do not tell him this story.
If you want him back after the first of the year, because that's the plan of action, do not mention Van Shockley.
Do not tell him the ballad of Van Shockley.
Don't tell him about Van Shockley.
It could end him.
It could.
If you love Larry, and we know you do, we have to keep this just between us.
Number
three.
Capriati's Sandwich Shop on East 53rd Street there in Davenport. Mm-hmm. They're offering that Wagyu beef.
Yeah.
And I will be a full disclosure moment here. I've never had it.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I've never had it is they have a lot of great sandwiches there. Slobby Joe.
Capistrami.
My problem is I tend to always get the cheesesteak because it's the best cheesesteak you can get in town. Or the Bobby. Now, I'm exiting my Bobby-free zone in terms of my calendar.
I do a lot of Italian sandwiches.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I really need to broaden my horizons there, but I can't say no to the cheesesteak.
Nah, I get it.
But they offer Wagyu beef now at Capriati's.
Yes.
And I've not had that. Okay. Have you had that?
I have not.
No, it's a big deal that they have it, apparently.
Yes, absolutely.
The Gordon Ramsay has got a hamburger where he's using this Wagyu beef.
Mm-hmm.
And he's charging $106 for it. Mm. What's so great about it? Why is it? It's like Kobe beef, but different?
Yes.
Gordon Ramsay has a restaurant at his United Kingdom there, where he's from. It's called the Wagyu Burger, and it's 100% UK heritage beef. Heritage beef sounds like something clever Darren would say about a burger that had been in his refrigerator for a while.
I used a vintage starch years ago. That I thought maybe got the whole family sick.
That was at Thanksgiving, too.
That was at Thanksgiving. Turned out that was not the case.
100% UK heritage beef patty, seared Wagyu sirloin, fresh black truffles, and truffle pecorino cheese.
Yeah, you're getting those truffles involved. That's why things are starting to get pricey.
Would truffles be a good note on a hamburger?
I don't know that it's necessary.
This is just somebody who wants to have a $106.
Someone who wants
hamburger.
To charge you a lot for a hamburger.
They also, if that's too rich for your blood, they also have a $56 lobster and shrimp burger. These burgers, he says, are unlike anything you've ever tasted, and he doesn't like when people point out that that's a little pricey for a hamburger.
No, if I'm having that at his restaurant, is he going to come out and yell at me?
I don't think he yells at customers, Darren. I mean, it's...
Well, then that's not fair. You only yell at the help? You're a monster. I mean, you yell at everybody or yell at no one.
Yeah, I wonder how many people go to the restaurant, one, thinking that he's there,
yeah,
back there, right, making the food.
Right, he's the one making... he's the one making my toasted cheese sandwich.
Right, and then expecting him to come out at some point and scream at a waitress or something. Well, I was very disappointed. He wasn't there, and I...
Everyone was so well-behaved. I'll never come back again.
Not for me or my family. One star.
Number four.
They say Chicago is my kind of town. I saw a man, he danced with his wife,
mm-hmm,
in Chicago. They do things.
They got hit by a Mack truck.
They don't do on Broadway. It's the town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down. And it's the town where a man now has been charged with murder over a deadly fight over Thanksgiving leftovers.
Okay. Now, I don't want to start a war. All I asked for were some leftovers for my birthday.
You're going to get your leftovers if it's going to be a matter of life and death, Darren.
Oh, boy.
Murder! Leftover murder! James Dixon allegedly stabbed the boyfriend of his Thanksgiving host 9 times.
It's a very Illinois name.
James Dixon?
Mm-hmm.
Chicago man charged with murder after a fatal fight that began when he put his hands in Thanksgiving leftovers. He's now charged with killing Vassell Jackson, who was the boyfriend of the Thanksgiving party host. Jackson was trying to escort Dixon out of the Chicago house because he had put his hands in the leftovers. The fight moved to the porch, where Jackson was then stabbed at least 9 times.
Ooh.
Dixon fled but was caught with a blood-covered knife.
Well, I guess we know who carved the turkey.
Oh, that's rough. The defense attorney is saying that Dixon was just properly defending himself. A bond has been set at $350,000. Are you touching my Thanksgiving leftovers?
Get your hands out of my stuffing!
I'll always call it Sears Tower, number one. Number two, get your hands out of my stuffing. That's leftovers for us.
Did I just hear you call my stuffing dressing? Get your fingers out of it.
I will escort you out of the house, my friend. We don't call it dressing in Chicago. I'm going to ask you to leave the front room and get out of my house, please. Do not touch the leftovers.
Can you believe they hired Tony La Russa?
Now that we're all going to have some leftovers, and then we're going to watch the Bears kick the Packers' ass.
Oy.
Yeah, at least this guy didn't have to see that game.
Oh.
Give him that. This boyfriend that ended up dying, he didn't have to watch any of that game on Sunday.
Yeah, and the Lions have a different coach this weekend, so.
Is it an interim coach, or have they named him as?
It's an interim coach, so. Yeah, they don't have the boob that the...
Bluto. That's what Big E calls him, our Lion fan that predicts games with us on Fridays here in the show. He calls him Bluto. He's got to be ecstatic that guy's out of the picture.
He's happy they got rid of the coach and the general manager.
Did you just put your fingers in the cranberry sauce? No malort for you, my friend. Out you go. Through the door or out the window, you pixies.
Did you just put your fingers in the sweet corn? That was from this year's garden.
Well, this is one of the reasons you weren't supposed to have a bunch of people over at your house.
Don't tell me that you just touched the green bean casserole. Don't tell me you did that.
What in the name of Stan Mikita are you doing looking at my leftovers for Thanksgiving. You got a lot of nerve, buddy. I happen to be the boyfriend of the host of this here Thanksgiving party, and if you think I'm gonna let you take some of them Thanksgiving leftovers, you have got another think coming.
Mister, we're gonna have a little porch talk.
Let's take this out to the porch. Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, like I said, my big Thanksgiving tradition is surviving Thanksgiving.
Well, congrats. Another successful year in the books for you, Darren.
Number five.
We have a text line. It's 470-23-NACHO. And I want to thank everybody who sent us this news story. You guys do the best show prep out of any of us on the team. Like, I find the best stories come from you guys, so keep these coming. McDonald's, you know, will be doing the McRib launch. Is tomorrow the first day that it's available everywhere? I know it's available, like, sporadically at a couple of places.
Guess I'll have to look for it today.
And this will be the first time that it's been on the menu across the country since 2012. Now, we've been getting McRibs.
So all franchises?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Huh. McRib, you don't have a choice everywhere. On it, this one.
I think you always have a choice. But if you're someone, I don't know how it was that some were able to do it and some weren't. I don't know. I don't
we
know.
Bought a lot of dead pigs. This is not an option.
if you will sell these dead pigs.
Everyone, this is Ronald McDonald speaking. Can you hear me?
When Ronald McDonald calls doing his panic voice,
you know.
I need you to sell some of these dead pigs.
We triple bought dead pigs.
Oh, it was so much trouble.
McDonald's giving away free McRib sandwiches to the first 10,000 fans who can prove that they shaved their beards. What kind of nonsense is this? I don't care for this promotion. McDonald's Vice President of U.S. Communications, David Tovar, says in a news release here, quote, "Our bearded fans know facial hair and the McRib just don't mix. Believe me, I've tried." You can have...
Is this just somebody who doesn't like beards?
It seems like.
Or someone... I wonder if it's someone at the top that can't grow a beard.
Yeah. Well, he does say, "Believe me, I've tried," which...
I've tried to grow a beard is what he meant.
And I can't.
And I can't. And I don't want anyone else looking cool.
The shaving challenge inspired by the beards and scruff grown during No Shave November, a month-long event created by a nonprofit organization devoted to fundraising for cancer research, prevention, and education. McDonald's working with No Shave November, adding that the money used to buy a McRib on Wednesday will also support donations towards the charity's cancer initiative. So you can go buy a McRib. I will not be shaving
my
face.
It is a scientific fact that women love facial hair.
Yeah.
And I've never been able to grow it.
I'm jealous.
And I resent all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now shave those beards.
No Shave November, a month-long journey where we ask participants to put down their razors and get hairy in the name of cancer awareness. That's what the executive director of No Shave November says. They say they're thrilled McDonald's is supporting this important cause, getting both the bearded and non-bearded involved beyond November. You pie up McRib tomorrow, I guess, and the money goes to cancer research. So that's nice. But you're going to go ahead and get money from me. I'm not going to shave my face for a McRib. Sorry, no. To enter the pool for a free McRib. Oh, there's a pool, is there? So this is for a chance at a free McRib? You post a picture of your freshly shaven face on your public Twitter or Instagram photo and use the hashtag #ShaveForMcRibSweepstakes.
Somebody hears that the wrong way and they start putting on their swimming trunks. There's a McRib pool? Going in head first.
Again, you have to shave your face. We're not looking at manscaping here. Check out the job I did downstairs. Where's my McRib?
It's a shamrock. Get it?
If you want more details, it says go to Shave 4, the number
4. Get a load
four.
Of this. It looks like mistletoe.
Check it out. Hey, he put the golden arches down there. Now where's my sandwich? I was told there'd be a sandwich of some sort.
I uploaded it to your app.
I showed it to him at the counter and they asked me to leave. I want a free McRib, damn it.
They pulled a gun on me. Did you know they've got guns?
Sir, gonna need you to leave the restaurant. Well, I was told there'd be a sandwich involved. Yeah, I'll be happy to pay for a McRib.
Yeah.
Although I'm not as excited about its return as you are. It's fine. It's not... I don't understand
I typically just do the one visit.
Yeah.
That usually does it because they'll have the deal where you buy the meal and then for an extra buck you get an extra sandwich.
Now, I don't know that they've said that that's a deal.
Oh,
I don't think...
Believe me, they're living up to that.
You can see to it?
No, that's happening.
I have not seen any advertisement about the buy one, get another one for a dollar.
No.
I don't think that's a thing.
They're doing it with their other sandwiches. Why wouldn't they do it with that?
Well, because the McRib is going to bring all these people into the restaurant that haven't been in a while. Why would we, where are we giving away, is what they're going to say. I don't see any details, Darren, on buy one and get regular price and get the other one for a dollar.
No, we have an agreement.
So
this is a long-standing agreement.
McRib has only been sold at some locations. Now it'll be at all... over 10,000 restaurants, and it's showing up on the menu. I mean, it started yesterday, but it's really supposed to launch tomorrow. It's a seasonal item that is important to get people into the
Can
restaurant.
Can you hear me? This is Ronald McDonald himself. This is not a drill.
When the McRib had its debut in 1981... it was a dud. No one was interested in the McRib when it was originally launched. We weren't ready for it.
October of 82 is when I had the first one.
They pulled it from its menu 4 years later, and it never achieved nationwide success.
They were giving samples.
But then it started to get a fan base. I guess, don't know what you got till it's gone.
At the McDonald's in Walcott.
So you were on your way to see a concert, right?
The Who. It was the Who's farewell tour in 1982.
Oh, boy. Is that the one that killed those kids?
No.
That was a different tour.
It would have been like the tour after it.
So you went to a tour to see a band that after they'd killed all those kids?
Well, I mean,
I guess I saw Pearl Jam after Roskilde, so that happens.
I was much thinner and nimble then.
Uh-huh. They say they're only going to be available for a limited time. So get them while the getting's good. And if you want a free one, shave your face because some small man who can't grow facial hair is making the decisions for this multinational billion dollar.
He's trying to find a wife.
And he's going to use the McRib to do it?
Uh-huh, to leverage it.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was worth downloading and listening to and subscribing. I'm glad I left a review on iTunes as well. Actually, I haven't done that. That would be weird if I left a review of the podcast. But I know we can count on you people, you wonderful, wonderful subscribers and listeners, to do that work for us. Thanks for doing all of the heavy lifting. Listening is really the most important thing you can do. So we do thank you for your time and attention.
It's truly God's work. The podcast is brought to you by
Nature's
Treatment of Illinois. They have a location in Milan on Tech Drive and also West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan is open every day. Galesburg is open weekdays and Saturdays. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. Make sure you do this. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
dig.
That's it for this episode of the Top 5 Things. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, thanks for listening, and hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, representing. This is for the Quad Cities, ref the spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hey, Brian, want to get the rock out of here?
Rock, yeah.